So last Sunday, we began a sermon series called Sacramental Life, Living a Life That Directs Others to God. And we said that sacraments are a sign act with ordinary elements that point beyond themselves to the beauty and the mystery of God while connecting us with God's generous grace. We talked about the words that Jesus said when he shared his last meal, Last Supper, with the disciples, the same words that we pray before communion. He took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples. Borrowing from the great spiritual leader Henry Nouwen, we said that taken and blessed and broken and given are not just words for the sacrament of Holy Communion. They describe what a sacramental life should be. In other words, what our lives should look like if we're generously pointing to God by the way we live, the things we do, the things we say. Taken, blessed, broken, given. As followers of Jesus, we should all want to live lives that calls people to look in God's direction, that connect them with God's generous grace. And so last week we began with the idea that we are taken, we are claimed, we're chosen by God, and then what it means to live out of this sense of being God's beloved. Today we continue in our series with what it means to be a people of blessing. Blessed. Let us pray. God, open our hearts and minds to your word for us this day. We pray that it would take root there, that it would grow us, transform us, that we might live for you and might bear fruit for your kingdom. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. I invite you to listen for God's word. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your land, your family, your father's household for the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation and will bless you. I will make your name respected and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Those who curse, I will curse. And all the families of the earth will be blessed because of you." Abram left just as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, blessing is one of those words that can kind of just roll off of our tongue, out of our mouths, without much thought or weight. We say the blessing before meals. We say someone is a blessing to us. Or we say, "God bless you," sometimes as a platitude, right? When we don't really want to delve into a lengthy or deeper conversation or have a more difficult conversation with someone. The hashtag blessed is stuck on just about everything, not to mention that certain streams of Christianity peddle the idea that financial and material blessings are always the will of God if you just have enough faith or if you just think enough positive thoughts. And yet, throughout Scripture, blessing carries a beautiful weight to it. Receiving and offering blessing in Scripture is not fluff or platitude. In fact, the first time that we encounter blessing in the Bible is when God blesses the creatures that God has made. God blesses them and says, "Be fruitful and multiply." God creates humanity in God's image and blesses them. It says, "Be fertile, multiply, fill the earth, rule it in love." God blesses the seventh day, the Sabbath day, and makes it holy. So from the very opening pages of Scripture, God's blessing is about flourishing and multiplication of life in proximity to God. It's about experiencing abundant life and goodness in relationship with God. And humans, right from the start, have an integral part to play in being multipliers or conduits of that blessing. And so to bless, it seems, is to bring the goodness and the grace and the life of God near to someone. To bring the goodness and grace and life of God near to someone through words or through actions. It's about expressing God's delight or goodness towards something or towards someone. That's how it should be, ideally. Except we know as human beings that we have twisted it to see blessing less as a gift meant to be multiplied and more like a finite commodity we have to consolidate and keep for ourselves. It's a quid pro quo, earn your keep, get mine, strings attached kind of world. And we see this early on in Scripture too, in Genesis. Instead of being multipliers of God's blessing and life for the world, human beings decide to consolidate blessing in one place, keep it for themselves, protect it, and make a name for themselves by building a great city called Babylon with a tower to reach toward the heavens instead of themselves reaching out to extend God's blessing. God scatters that flawed and broken project, and out of that place, God calls a particular family, Abram's family. And that's where our scripture picks up today, the calling of Abram. And it's absolutely full of blessing. Because God's desire is still the same, to see all the world, all the earth, full of God's goodness and life. So God tells Abram to leave his country, to leave his home, and to go to a land that God will show him. And then God says, I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And all on top of that, all the families of the earth will be blessed because of you. I will bless you. You will be a blessing. And through you, all the families of the earth will experience my blessing. Blessing multiplied. Do you hear the connections? If blessing is about flourishing of life in proximity to God, about bringing the goodness and the grace and the life of God near through word or deed, God is promising Abraham flourishing in goodness in relationship with God so that Abraham can bring that goodness, that grace, and that life of God near to other peoples. God blesses Abram's family so that they can be a blessing to the nations, so the world can experience God's grace and God's love. And this passage shows us that God chooses to mediate God's blessing to humanity through humanity. God mediates God's blessing to humanity through humanity. In other words, God blesses us, God touches us with divine grace so that we can be conduits or multipliers of that generous goodness and grace for the flourishing of others. As those in close proximity to God through Jesus, through a relationship with Christ, through being Jesus' disciples, we are, friends, blessed beyond measure. We experience God's goodness and God's grace in tangible and real ways all of the time. And precisely because of this, we become people who bless others. We are called to be people who bring the grace and the goodness of God near to others so that they can experience flourishing. It's like the divine image in us reaching out to touch the divine image in someone else. That's what Henry Nouwen writes about blessing. He says that to bless someone is the most significant affirmation we can offer. To bless someone is the most significant affirmation that we can offer. It is more than a word of praise or appreciation. It is more than pointing out someone's talents or good deeds. To give a blessing is to affirm, to say yes to a person's belovedness. It is to affirm, to say yes to a person's belovedness. In other words, it's doing or saying something that causes someone to see and know that they are sacred, that they are valued, and therefore causes them to see the God who made them that way and whose fingerprints their lives bare. I'm reminded of when my three boys were much younger, when they were babies, and they used to lie on that mat that has all of the mirrors and the rattles and the bells and contraptions hanging down, you know, and the kid, and they're reaching up with their feet and their hands to touch those suspended objects. And I remember as their daddy, I used to enjoy reaching out in the midst of all of that stuff with my finger to see if they would respond and pick it out from all of those things as they reached up. Our fingers would make contact and they would give a big grin. When we bless others, when we offer up a kind word, when we encourage, when we do something for someone that helps them or some way that makes their life richer and fuller, when we make them feel like they are special, it's the divine image in us reaching out and making contact with the divine image in another. It's delight making contact. And I'm convinced that the biggest thing that opens us up to be conduits of God's blessing, to bless others with our everyday, ordinary lives, is gratitude. Gratitude. Gratitude is the catalyst that translates God's generous blessing in our lives to our blessing of others. It's the catalyst. When we bless food before a meal, we're giving thanks for it. When Jesus blesses bread and shares it with his disciples, he's giving thanks for it. The recognition that all of life is a gift. We have received so much grace and kindness and love from God, from others. When we practice gratitude, when we truly savor and say thank you and praise God and others for what we have received, it moves us from beyond simply recognizing the gifts around us to wanting to bless others because we are so grateful, thankful. I'll never forget one of the most profound experiences of blessing that I have been a part of happened when I was on a learning retreat as a part of my kind of residency period before being fully ordained. We were visiting a church in rural eastern North Carolina. And the church was located in a struggling town with lots of poverty and drug addiction. And one of that United Methodist Church's ministries was a Celebrate Recovery program, which is a Christian 12-step program similar to AA, similar to Alcoholics Anonymous. And we participated in a worship service along with the participants of that class who were close to graduating. We sang hymns, we listened all together as the pastor shared a message. And then the pastor announced that we were going to have a time of prayer and blessing. And I was ready. You know, I was in a group of pastors soon to be. We're like, okay, I was prepared to go up with all those other pastors to offer a blessing over the Celebrate Recovery participants. Instead, pastor invited the recovering addicts to come to the front and offer a prayer and blessing over us as pastors. And in one of those wonderfully unexpected, humbling reversal of expectation God moments, I walked up to the front when it was my turn, while a man and a woman placed their hands on my shoulders and offered up words of blessing over me. Blessing me as a disciple, blessing me as a pastor, reminding me of God's love for me, of my belovedness. And it was one of the most powerful experiences in worship that I have ever had. I felt held. I felt bathed in life and in goodness. I felt as if God's face were shining upon me. And looking back, like, it makes sense why those recovering addicts were so ready and willing to bless others. Surely those who had experienced God's divine help and God's mercy and love, they were so grateful that their thankfulness just turned their lives into living blessings for others, even unsuspecting pastors like me. Blessing. And the truth is, we live in a world that is starved for blessing. As fearful, anxious, stressed people that we are, we live in a world in which many people experience more curse than blessing, or at least feel as if they do, where people look around and say, wait a second, there are way more curses than blessings. We live in a world where it's way too easy to both speak and receive blame or curses or accusations or gossip or to tear someone else down or to do something with strings attached. We live in a world where our lives sometimes feel like waves tossed around in the ocean, back and forth, up and down, where one day we feel great, the next day we feel miserable. One day we're full of creative energy, and the next day looks bleak. One day we're ready to take on the world, and the next day we can't even do basic tasks. We get thrown up and down by the unpredictability of life, not to mention all of the voices in our heads telling us lies about ourselves. That's why, friends, it is so important to be people of blessing for others, for our lives to take the shape of blessing. When our lives take the shape of blessing, we create for others an island in the midst of those chaotic waves of life. When we bless someone else with no strings attached, when we bring the goodness and the grace of God near to someone through words or actions, we give them, even if it's just for a moment, firmer ground to stand on. We bring them life and to life. We direct them to God, who is our rock, who is our sure foundation, our ultimate source of blessing and every good gift. So who will you bless this week? How will your life begin to take the shape of blessing? How will you become a kind of living sacrament, directing others to God? Blessing is our original vocation and mission. It's been God's desire from the very beginning, from creation, through calling of Abraham, through Jesus and his ministry, through the church. When we bless someone, we are acknowledging their sacredness, their inherent worth as a person created in the image of God through a loving action or a word spoken. We are bringing the life and love of God near. We're channeling God's care for them, meeting a need. And if we're living lives that are pointing to God, well, these blessings, this posture of blessing should come, no strings attached. No one should be left wondering, is there something else hidden here? Is there something else I'm going to have to do? Is this conditional? Like, what do you expect from me? No, if there's any wondering, it should be the awe and wonder kind. It comes from the experience of being seen and known and loved and valued just for being someone created in the image of God. It should be that curious, heart-softening kind of wonder causes people to look in God's direction, see God more clearly, and to truly be blessed.